Milton wasn't unlike many of his Midwest neighbors in the mid-1800s. He was hardworking, devout, conservative, and temperate. But it was also in his DNA. He could trace his family line back to the religious settlers of Plymouth Rock. His ancestors arrived just 20 years after the Pilgrims. True to his roots, he lived a life of piety. When he was 18 years old, he served as an itinerant preacher for the Church of the United Brethren. He was drawn to their moral stand, abstaining from alcohol and abolishing slavery. While serving as a supervisor at Hartsville College in Indiana, he met Susan Comer, a literature student. They shared a love of learning, which soon grew to a love for each other. After a long courtship, Milton was assigned by the church to be a pastor in Sublimity, Oregon, and serve as president of the Sublimity College. Before he left on his 2-year assignment, he confidently asked Susan to marry him. She declined. But she told Milton she would marry him when he returned. And when he returned, he found that Susan was true to her word. They were married in 1859. Milton's new assignment in Hartsville was as presiding elder and pastor. In the 15 years that followed, Milton and Susan became parents to 7 children, not uncommon for the day. Milton soon moved his growing family to Dayton, Ohio, where he became the editor of the weekly church newspaper, The Religious Telescope. While in Dayton, his prominence grew. He founded the United Theological Seminary and received his Doctor of Divinity degree. Milton was next elected as bishop. With this increased stature came a greater area of responsibility. He traveled extensively throughout the Midwest as leader of the church's Western Conference. While Milton was traveling, Susan kept the hustle and bustle at home under control. It was rare for a woman to have attended college in that day, as Susan did. She used her education to instill the love of learning in her children. She loved mathematics and science, but she also loved to work with her hands. While growing up, her father had a workshop. Susan became quite skilled in working with tools and solving mechanical problems. Her children knew her as a tinkerer, and she soon passed that curiosity on to her family. With both having a college education, Milton and Susan felt it was important to share as much knowledge for their family as they could. In their home were 2 libraries. One contained books and books about theology. The other, filled with volumes dedicated to other varied and diverse topics. One of their sons later recalled,
"We had special advantages. We were lucky enough to grow up in a home where there was always encouragement to pursue intellectual interests, to investigate whatever aroused our curiosity."
To keep the children interested in learning, Milton would often bring home from his trips things he found that he thought would be interesting. Returning from one trip, Milton brought to his boys a unique contraption. This gadget was made of bamboo, cork, and paper, powered by a rubber band. 2 of Milton's sons immediately began to explore the possibilities of this device. The boys were close. They had nicknames for each other. One was called Ulam, and the other, Bubs. These 2 boys inherited their mother's knack for tinkering, and they were mesmerized by their father's gift. But soon, Susan's health began to deteriorate. She spent her last few years requiring constant care. When she passed away, Milton was devastated. He recorded in his diary,
"And thus went out the light of my home."
Susan's death also affected Ulam and Bubs. Much to Milton's disappointment, Ulam had already dropped out of high school. With Susan's death, Bubs also dropped out. And Milton worried. He worried about his boys and their future. He worried about the rest of his family. He worried about financial obligations and church politics. Yes, Milton worried. Fortunately, the boys were ambitious. They were fascinated by the mechanics of the printing press, so they started their own weekly newspaper, the West Side News. They also started to repair that crazy modern mode of transportation, the bicycle. Soon, they opened their own modestly successful bicycle shop. But their real passion remained tinkering. They especially focused on a project inspired by Milton's small gift of bamboo, cork, paper, and the rubber band. With countless experiments, they started adding gears and motors, wires and canvas. They knew they had made it when they came up with a revolutionary system that gave them greater control of their budding invention. As the boys readied their brainchild for trial, Milton still worried. He worried about Ulam and Bub's safety in testing their contraptions. In fact, he made them promise that they would never use the experimental device at the same time. The brothers promised. On the morning of December 17, 1903, keeping their promise to Milton, they tossed a coin. Bubs climbed into the contraption alone. The cold winds that morning on the beach at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, were gusting to about 27 miles an hour. Bubs started down the ramp, and hitting a maximum speed of almost 7 miles per hour, climbed to the height of 10 feet. Although the flight only traveled 120 feet and lasted for just 12 seconds, the world instantly became smaller. Milton Wright's sons, Bubs and Ulam, known to those outside the family as Orville and Wilbur, had just introduced the world to powered flight. Milton wasn't there that day, but when he heard about it, he must have been so proud. And he probably worried a little as well. It took Milton 10 years to steel his nerves before he consented to ride with Orville in this contraption inspired by his simple gift all those years ago. When the day came, Milton nervously climbed aboard. Orville gently guided the craft down a runway, and they took off into the freedom of flight. After a few minutes, Orville looked over to his father. His father looked at Orville and said just three words.
Higher, Orville! Higher!
These words from Milton Wright encompassed all that this father, over the years, had tried to teach his boys about life. And we can heed that same advice. Take flight and pass it on. From PassItOn.com. If you enjoyed this bite-sized podcast, subscribe and pass it on to a friend. PassItOn.com, the podcast, is available on your favorite platform.